You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and be taking out your Bibles open to the book of Galatians. Wow, what a privilege to begin this first day of a brand new week in the house of the Lord. I just want to remind each of you, we are finishing up spring break. Some of our folks still aren't back yet. So we are not going to open to the book of Hebrews this morning. Corey and I had talked, and he just gave me the freedom to choose a scripture, to choose a topic this morning. And I hope the topic that we choose will be a blessing to you, and it'll be faithful to the Word of God. How many of you ever heard this expression? A picture is worth a thousand words. Yes. How many of you kind of agree with that? Yes. If you don't mind, I'm going to just give you a quick rundown in pictures of our spring break week. It started Monday. Monday was Salisa's birthday, and we have this little text group called Dexter for Life. And so from time to time during the week, when different family members were doing different things, things would be posted. So just know this first picture is going to picture us celebrating Mimish's birthday at Corey and Katie's house. Oh, if you ever get invited for her waffles, I suggest you take her up on that. We had an amazing first day of spring break just across the street in their house. It was fabulous. And then later we got this picture because shortly after her brunch, Corey and Kreider went to Utah. And this picture doesn't adequately show it, but when Corey posted this, Mimish had to come apart. Kreider is literally sitting on the edge of a cliff, hundreds and hundreds of feet below him. That's Kreider. And then on another day, Mimish posted this. Three of her grandgirls at LBL with a farmer in the far end planting corn and them riding their horses in his field. And then one day she posted this. Yeah. G-Man. In one of the fishing spots in LBL, finally catching a fish. And then, of course, this will not surprise you. She took Finley to Park City, Kentucky to play on what's supposed to be the greatest golf course in the state of Kentucky. And she just had to post this picture. And then, of course, y'all want to know what I did during spring break? This picture's worth a thousand words. Now, I just want you to know there were several times during the week the children would think Brother Ricky's missing out, and Mimish would say to Evie, Evie, I promise you, Papa enjoys driving his tractor like you enjoy riding your horse. Garnet, I promise you, Papa had rather be driving his tractor in LBL than fishing. And Finn doesn't believe it, but yes, his papa gets as much joy out of driving that tractor planting corn than he gets out of hitting that golf ball. Pictures are worth a thousand words. But sometimes, someone has the ability to take a few words and paint an amazing picture. I think that's what Paul does this morning. Would you stand with me and open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2? Madison has already had us read this scripture, but we're going to read it again. Because I think Paul takes 45 words and in four different phrases of 6 words, 13 words, 18 words, and then 8 words, paints four pictures that paints this big picture. He is alive, and so am I. Do you hear that? He is alive, and so am I. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, thank you for this amazing opportunity to stand before your church here in Hardin and get to share the Word of God. Father, thank you for the guests that I've got to meet this morning, especially that precious family who's here from Brazil. Wow. Father, thank you for the opportunity to get to speak a little Portuguese to them. They're so precious. And Father, thank you for each one that's here. Hardin loves guests, but Father, we love our regulars. We love our members. Thank you that on this first day of the week, we gather and we've worshiped you in song, but now we want to hear your word. We want you to speak to us. Father, you know my heart. I never want to be a speaker only. I want to be a doer. And I know this audience, no one here wants to be a hear only. We want to be doers. So we're asking you to do what only you can do now, and that's anoint us with your spirit. Open our eyes to the truth. And as you open our eyes, let us have the ability to life this out the other 6 days of this brand new week. Father, we think this morning you're getting us ready for what you've got ready for us. Hold our attention, Lord. We give you all the honor and all the glory, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A picture is worth a thousand words, but Paul takes six words and paints an amazing picture. I have been crucified with Christ. Last Sunday morning, we gathered together and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many gathered together on that previous Friday and celebrated what we call Good Friday, good for us, not so good for him. Christ, before he was raised from the dead, was crucified. I can't imagine. Breaks my heart every time I read it. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They played a game with him. They rolled dice. They would move him to different places. They would hit him. They had already beaten him to an inch of his life. With a whip, with stone, glass, metal objects, 39 times, they would lacerate him to where there was no flesh left on his body. His back. They put a crown on his head. They bow before him. They put a mock robe on him. They put a beam of wood on his back. And they lead him outside the city. And then they place his feet together. after they've placed his arms apart and they drive Roman spikes through his wrist. They put his ankles together and they drive spikes through his feet. There's no flesh on his back. He's hanging on an old rugged cross, a beam of wood. It's not sanded. And for 6 hours, he fights to breathe. To breathe, he has to push up off those feet. That back has to go up that cross. For 3 hours. The Son of God, who lived the life I couldn't, goes to that cross to die the death I should have. After 3 hours, the Son of God in heaven refuses to shine when it sees what the sin of man does to the true Son of God. God laid all our sin on him. He's laying his life down to ultimately pay our penalty. What's the penalty of sin? Eternal separation from God. Can you imagine the intensity of all of the payment of the sin of the world put on one man in a 3-hour period of time, and he feels God? Be separated from him, he who was one with God. And for the first time in eternity, he's forsaken by God. God pours his wrath down on him. My God, why have you forsaken me? He knew why. Some thought he was crying for Elijah. They still mocked him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Surely he could pray to God and God would... Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then, tetelestai, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. And he took his last. You hear what Paul's saying? I have been crucified with Christ. It wasn't just Christ on that cross. Paul identified with Christ to the point that he believed he had been crucified on that cross with Christ. I know you know this. It's a perfect passive indicative statement. Indicative statement meaning this is a statement of fact, of truth. Paul believed he had been crucified with Christ. But it's the perfect tense, meaning the activity of the action has happened in the past, but the result of that action that's a finished process is still finished. And the result is still true. Paul believed there was a time in his past where he was crucified, and he was still crucified at the moment of writing. Not the active voice, the passive voice, meaning he did not cause himself to be crucified, but he's the recipient of the action of another. Someone else crucified him with Christ, and he's the recipient. Why? How many of you, like Paul, can say, I have been crucified with Christ? Tell me you feel this. Tell me you sense this. Tell me this. Has your attention? He is alive, and so am I, but it's only because I have been crucified with him. In Romans 6, Paul's going to talk more about our identification with Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection, and he's going to talk about how our baptism pictures that. And how that we who have identified with the Lord in believers' baptism died with Christ. We've been raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. But then in verse 6, here's what he says. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Those of you like me who can say, like Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, here's what we know. Our old self, Ricky the sinner, Paul the sinner, that was alive to the power of sin in his body, but was dead to God, that old self, that sinner, was crucified with Christ. Didn't just die, was crucified. Was put on that cross where the penalty of sin was paid. That the body of sin, might be brought to nothing. I don't like KJV here when it says destroyed. No, the body of sin's not destroyed. But here's what it means. ESV's trying to capture this. When the old self, the person that we used to be, was crucified, he was crucified so that the body that this new man now lives in, that body of sin, sin in it, its power has been broken, because Christ didn't just die for sin on the cross, he died to sin, and when he broke sin's power, sin now in our body has been rendered inoperative. Being a farm kid, who likes trucks, semis, tractors. There's always that time on the farm when you got to put whatever you're driving in gear. One person described this action as God in Christ put the transmission of sin into neutral. Woo, glory. So that. See, that is a word that points to purpose. Why was our old self crucified with Christ? That the body of sin might be put in neutral. So that, highest purpose, why? We should no longer be enslaved to sin. I have been crucified with Christ, and because I have been crucified with Christ, my old self is dead, and the new self that I am can never be a slave to sin ever again. Can't Can the transmission be? Yes, it can still be put in drive from time to time, but I can't ever be a slave to it again. Why? Because the old self that I was is dead. Wow. I love what Paul did in his letter to the church at Ephesus and his letter to the church of the Colossian people. And I want to be honest with you. I want to confess I'm not being critical, but I was not raised in a church who taught this. And it caused me a lot of trouble. My church was very sincere in their beliefs. But every Sunday, whoever our pastor was, whoever our speaker was, they just chose a topic. They preached on that topic. And we never chose all the scriptures of the Bible to teach or preach. Do you know what Paul says in Ephesians 4? When he starts talking about the change in the life of a believer, he talks about how when you heard the gospel and you received the truth, he said, you were told this. You put off the old self and its practices, and you put on the new self, which is being renewed after the image of God in true righteousness and true holiness. I was never taught that. You know what I was taught? I was taught I was a sinner. I needed to put my faith in Jesus so I'd go to heaven. And now that my faith was in Jesus, I was going to heaven, but I wasn't any different than anybody else. I was still a sinner. I was just saved. And the people around me who weren't saved, they were still sinners too. They were just lost sinners, and I was a saved sinner. And the whole world is made up of sinners. You're either a lost sinner or you're a saved sinner. My granddaddy Bogart, God bless him, he meant well, but he'd get up in a testimony service and he'd say, y'all know me, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I want to scream from the top of my voice now after being taught this. Lie, lie, lie. We are not still sinners. The old self that was dead to God and alive to sin as a sinner, that guy was crucified with Christ. He is dead and still is dead. He's not alive in you. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, says, hey, what happened when you got saved? You put off the old self. And what did you do? You put on the new self. Who is the new self? The new self is a saint of God. Alive to God. Dead to sin. Not like the sinner who was dead to God and alive to sin. The new saint of God that you are cannot ever be enslaved again to sin. Why? Because you were crucified with Christ. And still are. That guy didn't die and get resurrected. That guy's still dead. There's now a new you living in the old body. He is alive and so are you. He is alive and so am I. He is alive and so are we. Just six words, but what a picture. And now it takes 13. You know how preachers are. It takes a little more. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He's alive. So am I, Paul said. But it's not I who am alive. It's Christ who is alive in me. Christ lives in me. Now, this is the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday. Some of you call it Easter. Brother Ricky calls it Resurrection Sunday. Corey did a fantastic job last week taking us through 1 Corinthians 15. We saw the true gospel. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, and was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and he appeared to a lot of people. And here's what we know. After he appeared, stayed around for about 40 days with his disciples on a mountain, he ascended back to the Father's right hand side. Amen. So if I were to just ask the question this morning, where is Christ? Most of us would say at the right hand of God. And we'd be right. Amen. He's not in a Palestinian tomb. He was buried, but he was raised. People saw him, and now he's at the right hand throne of God in heaven. Everybody agree. Now I just gotta ask this question. What's he doing? He's sitting. He's sitting. You know why he's sitting? Our justification is finished. Done. It's done. Christ did what he was supposed to do. He died in our place on that cross. God did what he was supposed to do. He put our sin on him, and then he judged us a sinner, and Christ paid for our sin, and then he died, he was buried, and God raised him from the dead. And when he got back to the Father's right-hand side, the Father said, "Son, have a seat." Now, I'll make sure you get this picture. He didn't tell him to take a seat because he's on break. He took a seat because it's finished. It's finished. What's finished? My salvation's finished. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm right with God. There's nothing Christ is ever going to do again to make me right with God. So he's sitting at the Father's right-hand side. Do you see that picture? But watch this. That's not what Paul says here. So we need to ask this question again. Where is Christ? In me. The same Jesus, the same Son of God, who is seated at the right hand of God right now, physically, spiritually, is in me. Got to ask this question. What's he doing? He's living. He's living. Come on. Come on, help me. Yes. He's not sitting in me. He's living in me. Paul's going to go in Romans 6 and say that the death he died once for all to sin, but the life he lives for God. So what's he doing right now in me? He's living for God. He's living for God. Now, can you say honestly, I've been crucified with Christ? It's no longer I who live. But Christ lives in me. What a picture. What a picture. Now this next one is going to take 5 more words than that one took. It's going to take 18. When he says, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Hold it, Paul. I thought you'd been crucified with Christ. That's right. Paul, the sinner that was dead to God and alive to sin, he's still dead. But Paul now knows he's a new person in Christ. And this new person that he is in Christ, it's not him living. It's Christ living his life in him to the glory of God. And the life Paul lives now, he lives by what? Faith. I believe this all my heart. Paul, in the book of Galatians, has labored to tell us that we are not justified by works of law, but we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Justification is the past tense of our salvation. I have been saved. I have been made right with God. But you know what that life of justification starts? A life of sanctification. And that's the life you're living now. And here's what Paul is saying. The life I'm now living in the flesh, becoming more sanctified, moving further and further away from Adam and more into the image of Christ, I'm living this life by law? No. By works? No. By legalism? No. By do's and don'ts? No. You know what I'm living by? Faith. 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 How dare us be legalistic? How dare us still have those lists of what we can't do and what we should do? How dare? It's not how you live your life. You know how you live your life? By faith. In who? The Son of God. Who is in heaven at the right-hand throne of God sitting, but is also in you living his life. He wants to make himself at home in you. And the way you let him make himself at home in you, where he chooses the TV channel you watch, he chooses what you read, he chooses what you drink, he chooses what you eat, he chooses what you say, he chooses what you do. You live that life by faith. In him. Faith means to commit to trust in, to rely upon, to adhere to. To who? Christ. Not a doctrine, not a book, a person. Who we don't learn just about, but we get to know. And in our knowing of him, we trust him. We trust him how? That in this moment, it won't be me, but it'll be him living his life through me. I don't hear this anymore. But there used to be a time when we were young married and Salisa would get ready and she'd put her dress on and she'd stand in front of me and she'd twirl and then she'd say, "Can you see my slip?" And I'd have to say no or yes. It was easy. My wife never wanted her slip to show. Can I ask you a question? Is your flesh showing? Huh? Huh? Why? Because at that moment, your faith's not in Jesus. I'm not talking about justification, I'm talking about sanctification. At that moment, you've let the transmission go from neutral into drive, and you're following your unredeemed flesh. And Paul says, no. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So let's just get this thought. Christ now, who is sitting at the right-hand throne of God, is alive and living in me. And he wants to live for God in me. So I get in that situation and, nah, I'm just going to back out of this. Because, you know, the real reason I'm having a relationship with you is for what you can give to me, not what I can give to you. And I'm not getting anything from you anymore that I really need, so I'm backing out of this. Ooh. I thought Christ came and had a love that didn't initiate because he had a need, but because someone else had a need, and then he evaluated that need. He looked within himself, put that need on a place of priority in his life, and then, wow, met that need. Been there? Did the Spirit of Christ show in that conversation? Did the Spirit of Christ show in that moment, or did your flesh show? I know what they did. But you're still wanting to turn your head when you see them in town? You still won't even grin at them in church? When the one living in you, if I remember this right, while they were crucifying him and you were being crucified with him, said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Yeah, but Brother Rick, I know. If we interviewed those people crucifying Jesus, do you think they didn't know what they were doing? Of course they thought they knew what they were doing. Why can't you give that same grace to the person doing what they're doing that they really don't know what they're doing? So we forgive. We don't give someone a piece of our mind when the piece we're going to give them is our flesh. What we want to show is Christ living in us. I do this by faith. I just trust. I just depend on. I know at this moment what I and my flesh want to do. But I'm dead to that now, and I'm alive to God, and my faith's in Jesus, so I'm going to rest and let him live through me in this moment. You guys know I've been in Brazil for 3 weeks. If you were to ask me what was my one moment that I think was my most glorifying moment, edifying moment, that just, oh, it was worth going for. It wasn't when I was at the RBBI with almost 200 pastors and church leaders and me getting to teach. It wasn't when I got to go out to the lake and visit a lake area that I'd never been to and see if there's a need for us to plant another church there. It was when I came back to the city of Manaus and then I drove to Manicaparu, town of about 100,000 people. And we're planning a church there. And our college mission team went with us and we had our first service as a church. Our college team was amazing. They were in schools, they were ministering. And on this particular day, I'm gonna tell you about Brother Ricky was just walking through town. They didn't really need me to be there, but I wanted to be there with them. So I'm walking through town and I'm trying to talk to people in Portuguese as best I can and just have a conversation. And I've got a translator with me, but there's nobody really at home at this time of the day. And then all of a sudden, the translator and I and another guy with us, we decide we're going to go into a barbershop because his beard's looking kind of rough and he could use a haircut. So we're going to put him in the chair. He's going to get a haircut. And while he's getting the haircut, he's going to translate for me. And I'm going to try to witness to everybody there in the barbershop. He goes in the door, and as soon as he went in the door, I should have followed, but I didn't, because my eye caught a guy who had a Bible, and he was about 20 yards away from me, and I just kept walking straight while Jonathan went in the barbershop, and I went up to this guy, and in Portuguese, I started talking to him in Portuguese, and he could understand me, I could understand him, I got him to speak slow to me. And then on this side, I see a church. On this side, I see a church. And here's a guy with a Bible, and he's talking to a guy on a moped. And I just ask him, you got a Bible? Do you go to one of these churches? He said, yes. I said, which one? He pointed to this one, and the church said traditional on this one. And you could tell the building across the street was a modern church building. And I had this thought, how Baptists do in Kentucky. And so I just asked him as best I could in Portuguese, was there a time when y'all were the same church, but y'all had something you disagreed over and you split? And he said, yes. And then he pointed to this man on the motorcycle and he said, this is my pastor. I introduced myself to him. Meu nome é Pastor Hickey, and I told who I was. He gets off the moped. We talk for a few minutes and then he gets on the phone, puts me in the shade. We're standing on the street. And all of a sudden, the guy answers, and a guy speaks to me in English. And here's what he tells me. The man on the moped is the pastor of the church. He's going to take his moped to his house, and he's going to get his truck, and he's going to come back, and he's going to pick you up, and he's going to bring you to me. I'm thinking my Portuguese has got me in trouble. I agree, as I do in Brazil a lot. So I think he's just going to go down a block, get his truck, come back and pick me up. Time passes. And so the next thing you know, I decide I'm going to get out of the sun, and I go into the barbershop. And when I go into the barbershop, the guy who I'd talked to first with his Bible follows me into the barbershop. And all of a sudden, Jonathan's sitting in the chair, and he's getting his haircut. And I look at his barber, and his barber's got a big old shirt on, and it's got the name of one of the churches right there on his shirt. And I just said, wow, you go to church. And then I asked which one it is. He pointed, it was the traditional church. And then he said this. In Portuguese, I understood it. He said, I'm a deacon in the church. And I did my little thing that I do with my deacons here. Y'all know that the word, and I told him this. I said, you know that the word deacon literally means to have dirty feet. He said, no. I said, let me look at your feet. You got dirty feet. He started shuffling his feet. And then I explained to him what a deacon was. And then I said, now look at my feet. And I pointed down. I said, you know, the Bible also says how beautiful are the feet of him who preaches good news. And I said, you got dirty feet, but I've got beautiful feet. And he laughed. And then I said, I'm supposing that your church believes the Bible. Yes, we believe the Bible. So then I followed up and said, so you believe you're saved by grace through faith alone, not of works? And he said, no, faith and works. And he quoted a scripture, but he quoted it out of context. And even in Brazil, y'all know how Brother Ricky is when somebody quotes something out of context. I've got to show what the real context is. So I go through a long conversation with him, and I talk about what Christ did. I talked about how Christ made us alive with him, how he raised us up out of sin, and how right now we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and Christ seated, and our salvation is complete. And so there's nothing we can do. There's no works. We just got to trust in Jesus. And then all of a sudden, I totally forgot the guy that I originally talked to who had his Bible was with me, behind me, and he tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around, and with a look on his face, he said, Pastor Hickey, are you telling me I can stop trying and I can just rest in Christ? I said, seem, yes. And he gave me the grandiose braço, a big hug. And And he said, I'm just going to rest in Christ. I want you to rest in Christ. Not just for your justification, but for your sanctification. Because when you rest in him, he lives in you. Get ready. This week, nobody's going to see your flesh. People are going to see the Spirit of God in you. Now, I've always been taught this. Not sure it's right, but here's what I've been taught. Love's supposed to be unconditional, but respect and trust, you got to earn it. I wonder if that was true in Paul's day, because you know what Paul says after telling us that we now live the life we live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God? What does he tell us about the Son of God? He's worthy of our faith. You know why he's worthy of our faith? Who loved us and gave himself up for us. He loved you. He loved you so much that he left his Father's right-hand side, took upon a body just like yours, and lived the life you couldn't, to go to that cross and die the death you should have. And yes, he's in heaven at the Father's right-hand side, but spiritually he's inside you. And he wants to love through you. And he wants to take your life and use you for the glory of God. Can I just say this? He's earned your trust. Let's put our faith in him. I know you already have for justification, but let's do it for sanctification. Because tomorrow there's going to be that moment. And you're going to feel your flesh wanting to put it in drive, and you say, stay in neutral. I'm going to let Christ handle this. Father, thank you that your Son is alive, and so am I. Thank you that your Son is alive, and so are we, who've been called by you, and we've turned from sin, put our faith in your Son. We're not going to just celebrate resurrection one Sunday a year. We're going to celebrate resurrection life every day of the year, because he is alive, and so am I. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who's not, please call them to salvation. If there's anyone here, Father, who would like to talk to someone, please let them hang around. We got guys and gals who would love to talk to them about Christ. Father, let us leave here today seeing this picture of 45 words, and let us believe he is alive, and so am I. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. You are not dismissed. We are what? Sent. Have a great, great rest of the day. Hey, don't forget, we're back on Wednesday night. Our regular services. See you guys Wednesday night.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.